Set your apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for the Tiny Shutter Podcast with your hosts, Keith Tharp, Mark Sadowski, and Matt Hoffman. Suck it, Android.
Good morning, Tiny Shutter fans. We are back. We are appropriately going to take a two-week vacation after this episode, so we are calling this our Tiny Shutter Christmas. And we've got a bit of news for you and some focus points and so forth, and we also have a spectacularly, amazingly awesome interview with one gentleman named Kevin Custer. So stick around for that. Everything is coming up. My name is Keith Tharp.
I'm Mark Sadowski.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And we are going to jump right into our singular news piece today, and that is Tiny Shutter / Facebook decides that they are going to piss off the world, change their terms of service, and tell everybody that they're going to open up the world's largest stock agency, sell their photos, and give no money back to the community, and give no credit, and they're just going to be billionaires on their own and screw their user base, and that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting few days.
Matt, are you mad about this or what?
I am absolutely furious. You know, honestly, I really want to meet someone whose photo gets sold by Instagram.
What, you don't think it could happen?
No, I mean, it could happen. Is it likely to happen? No. You know, just looking at all the comments on Facebook and Instagram yesterday, I'm just wondering what makes everybody think that their photos of feet and cats are so great that Foot Locker and PetSmart are going to want to buy them.
You know, here's the funny part. People are up in arms about letting their photos, you know, they're going to take our photos and we're not going to make any money off of them. Yet people willingly do this on the news by giving away their photos to CNN, photos and videos, giving things away to Foot Locker because they have their own Instagram feed and everything. So people, yeah, don't let people, you know, lose the right to get rid of their photos. They want the right to do it themselves.
I don't have I don't have the terms of service up in front of me, so
they're changing it anyway right now.
Yeah, well, I know they are, but I mean, there was the particular portion of the updated terms of service that really had people going was essentially saying we can sell your photo to a third party without any retribution to you and without any kind of credit, and that was what got everybody up in arms. And then a couple stories broke out, and there was actually one that said, you know, this is going to be Instagram is now going to be the world's largest royalty-free stock service on the planet, kind of thing. And I was like, you know, essentially, you know, I mean, let's get this straight. First of all, I'm concerned. I mean, I obviously want to pay attention to the terms of service and make sure that I'm not, or at least that I'm educated on it. You know,
right?
I'm not sitting here saying, you know, I don't give a rat's butt what they do with my stuff. I mean, I do. I do care. I do moderately worry, or not worry, but I am moderately concerned about the fact that it is my property. It is my intellectual property. I don't want to, you know, I did hear some people way on the other side of the fence saying, you know, I don't care what they do with the pictures. I'm just taking pictures of my breakfast and my family and my friends, and I don't really care what they do with it. I kind of have a bit of it, you know, because I do have some pictures of my kids up there and some pictures of myself. I don't want to see a picture of me on a Tampax commercial or something. So, so I do have a concern about that.
What have you been photographing?
But in the end, I really, really don't see this being a move to try and lure third parties into buying pictures. I don't see it as even a possibility that it's not going to become a royalty-free site. You already have tons and tons of sites out there with millions and millions of pictures that are so well categorized. They are they're skimmed through, so you get the best of the best and nothing else. You don't have to go through 700 pictures of feet and cats and breakfast to find the one picture. You know, like my post on Tiny Shutter said, go search hashtag sunset and see how many sunsets you get in the first 100 pictures.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have tried that, but the ratio is probably 3% of real quality tagging. So that's, I mean, somebody brought up a point today is like, well, as far as finding stuff goes, a particular company could go out and let's say you're a bakery, you could find pictures that were taken around your bakery or tagged as your bakery and possibly buy those and use them as promotional. But I mean, still, you still have to look through a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't created with advertising in mind, right? When if you're going to go and do that, how much money are you going to spend on it? When you could, again, you could go to a stock agency and get one for $1.50, or you could grab your point and shoot or your iPhone and go out and grab the same picture for free. You know, so my point about all this is it's not there for them to go and sell your picture. It doesn't make any sense at all, because first of all, it would be like signing their death warrant, right? Because once you piss off that much of a majority of the legitimate content providers, nobody's going to want to be there if that legitimately happens. And so let's say we forfeit everything we put up there. Now they've got a billion pictures or whatever it is. How many of them are actually quality sellable, and now they get no more rejuvenating content? It's just not a possibility. What I see it is them trying to think of creative ways to monetize the system. You've got a very small user interface there. So, I mean, we talk about this a bit with Kevin Custer in the interview, but I mean, that's my take on it, is they're just trying to think of creative ways to monetize it.
Right. In most terms of services that companies do, they want to make the terms of service as broad as possible, so that way they can later on in the future do something that's new and creative that they hadn't thought of in the meantime. And in this particular case, I think the lawyers just went a little too far, and now they're kind of reaping what they sell, but that's Facebook for you.
Matt, did you close your account yet?
No, but I'm going to right after. Never.
You know, Keith, I was surprised, and I think we covered this in the interview earlier today. I was surprised that people actually did close down their accounts. I actually goaded some people. For those that I did, I apologize. But you know, you hear this all the time. It's like, I'm closing my account. This is the last straw. I was like, shut up.
I'm leaving America and moving to France because somebody was elected or something like that. It's like, go,
yeah,
just
Alec
go,
Baldwin. So it was. I got to say, for the people who did leave, you know, kudos to you. You actually did it.
Sure, yeah. And I mean, there's something to be said for that too. And again, I don't want to talk too much about what we mentioned with our interview with Kevin, but you know, my whole thing about it is, okay, if they only gave us a day to make up our minds and they didn't come back with some kind of, oh, we've screwed up kind of thing, I may very well have deleted my account, but they've given us 30 days. They've given us some breathing room and some time to take our time and think about it, get our facts straight, let them realize that maybe they've screwed up or whatnot. I mean, just a second to think about it and whatever. You know, it's been mentioned that, you know, this is that kind of classic play where you go way overboard, overstepping your bounds, and then you pull it back a little to make everybody feel good, just like gas prices, you know, jump them up to $5. And then when you come back to $4.25, everybody feels better about it, even though 2 months ago it was $3.50.
So, yeah, that's another Facebook play.
Yeah.
I think that's something we got to get used to. But I got to say, the timing of this couldn't have been better for Flickr.
Right. Yep.
You guys load Flickr?
I haven't played with Flickr yet, but I did download IAM. There is a bunch of again, remember when Facebook first bought out Instagram, there were tons and tons of posts, you know, 10 alternatives to Instagram and so forth. Those have hit the airwaves again, and so I did go out and try IAM, and there's a couple other ones. And that one that I thought was really good back then hasn't been hitting the streets. I can't remember what the name of it was.
But, I actually loaded
Ta-da.
Right, that one's a good one.
Stream Zoo. was the one that I wrote.
And somebody else suggested that one as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played around with StreamZoo for a little while, but I haven't been on it in quite a while. And ta-da, I can't seem to keep up with it the same way I do with Instagram.
Instagram, love it or hate it, it's the easiest one out there.
It is.
I think it's just one of those things where, you know, we've kind of gotten accustomed to it and whatnot. You know, there's however many millions and millions of people on it. We've created our communities. It's just like trying to leave Facebook for G+, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is for me. It's the idea of having to start over somewhere else that's not appealing to me.
You know what else, Matt? Yeah. Is think about this too. Is in this mass hysteria, I've gotten, and I won't pull out any names, but I've gotten two or three people that have said they're going to Flickr, two or three people that have said they're going to IM, two or three people that have said they're going to that other one you just mentioned. A couple people actually mentioned Tada. A couple of people mentioned that they're not going anywhere. So it's not even like everybody on Instagram is sliding over to Flickr. That's not what's happening. Everybody's scattering. One person that I follow today put out a list of 5 other places that he's going to be. And it's like, I don't have that kind of time, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's lazy. You know, you go ahead and call me a sheep, and you're probably right, and that's fine, whatever. You know, if it gets to a point where I mean, it's not like I'm afraid to dump Instagram, because I'm not. It's just, I really don't feel like it's necessary right now.
I'm afraid to dump Instagram.
So that's the big news. There were no other exciting points to mention, unless you guys have seen other news points that we need to touch on before.
I think come January 16th, we'll have something else to talk about.
True. All right, well, then we are going to break away now and go to our interview with Kevin Custer, and we will see you on the other side. All right, folks, we are here with Kevin Custer, and this is mildly exciting for me because he is also a contributor over at theappwhisperer.com, which is actually where I found out about him. So I've been dying to get him on the show. I've been dying to do some chatting with him, and well, welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Glad to have you.
Mark is also here with us for the interview. And Kevin, just to get everybody kind of up to speed with you and your role in photography in general, as well as mobile photography, can you kind of give me a background about how you got into photography and kind of where that took you?
Sure. I've been into photography since I was a kid. I think what really happened is probably, early in high school, I saw a copy of American Photo, and I very specifically remember there was a shot of a photographer who was actually based here in Chicago by the name of Victor Skrubnesky, very, very famous photographer, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and into like some of the 90s, but just beautiful stuff. And it was just the first time I ever remember thinking like, wow, like the image just drew me in. And I just always kind of like, enjoyed it. I was always artistically inclined, but I just, to be really honest with you, I never saw photography as a career. Through a bunch of different circumstances, I was trained as an art director, a classic graphic designer and art director. And I know that served me really well in my photography, but my career just really took a direction more and more towards photography, where, it was just a great path.
And so you were schooled for graphic design?
Correct. So it was basically in college, my major was graphic design, and they always had kind of like, you know, you had to do some photography classes or work with someone who was in a photo class. And so I did that in college, and I just loved the photography. But again, I don't know why, I just never really considered that as a career, you know, or something I was going to do, because I liked working with type and design and layout. And then when I was getting ready to graduate, I was like, I have to get serious about what I'm going to do. You know, I just had too much fun in college. Didn't really concentrate on my, you know, studies or schoolwork. I was one of those guys that I had a certain amount of talent, and probably relied upon that too much, as opposed to hard work, where, you know, a project would be due in 2 weeks and I would just do, you know, two all-nighters before it was due, and get a pretty good grade, as opposed to taking advantage of the time. So when I was getting ready to, you know, I was supposed to graduate in 4 years, but I was on the 4.5, 5-year program. And, right before I was about ready to graduate, I reached out to, actually National Geographics and Chicago Magazine, about being, you know, cause I saw that they took internships. And then a friend of mine said, hey, the head art director at Playboy was a graduate of the University of Kansas, and that's where I was going to school. So before the day of being online and internet, I sent him a letter saying, you know, I'm going to be back in Chicago for Christmas break. I would love to just sit down and talk to you about your career. Totally not looking for anything.
Yeah.
No. And I stayed after him. Like, I never heard from him. I called his secretary and I'm like, look, you know, I just want to get a couple minutes of his time and that's it. And I was pretty tenacious. And, finally she called me up. She's like, she got good news and bad news. you know, the bad news is never, and this is true, never wants you to call him or contact him again. The good news is if you want a free non-paid internship, it's yours.
Sweet.
And, I wasn't even thinking about working there or anything. And I was like, okay, great. You know? So I took it. And I actually wound up leaving school, to take the internship, much to my parents' chagrin.
Sure.
But I just figured, you know what? Any professional experience that I get is going to just put me that much further ahead of anybody.
Right.
So fast forward, next thing you know, Your official title with Playboy ends up being director of photography?
No, I was actually the senior photo editor for the magazine and the managing content producer for Playboy Digital and Online.
Which some possibly could construe as like a dream job for photography.
I get that quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm sure you didn't like it too much.
No, to be honest with you, it was an amazing experience and run there. You know, I was with the company for 18 years. It was my first job right out of school. And I literally grew up there, as a professional and as a creative. And you know, I'm very honest. I'd love to say it was talent that put me there. It was luck. I will say that, you know, talent, kept me there. And being able to be smart about the job also kept me there. And I just had an amazing opportunity to work with some of the best photographers and best artists in the world.
Very awesome. So how does that transition to where you are now, let me step back a second and say your transition from, or your passion anyway for mobile photography. How does that come to be? How does that come along from where you positioned yourself as a you know, a more traditional photographer?
Sure. Well, the thing that was really interesting is for most of my career at Playboy, I never really considered myself a photographer. And I know this is going to sound strange, but you know, I did shoot some. But it was very difficult when you're a manager of people. It's kind of like, you know, they either want you to be a coach or you're a player.
Sure.
And because I was managing and producing, you know, the vast majority of the content in the magazine, you know, you couldn't do the both. Plus, it was also one of those things that was just an enormous amount of respect that we had towards people that were photographers there. And that title, Playboy Photographer.
Sure.
So really kind of what happened was, I grew up just learning so much and watching and being on set and working in collaboration with these guys. But it was very, I want to say more traditional photography, you know, commercial stuff with some fashion. the men's fashion, and then of course the celebrity stuff. And it became, a lot of the photography became such a production. I mean, lights and locations and peoples and sure. just, I mean, massive, like small little movie production sets. And I didn't realize it, but that started to work on me, where it was just like you were kind of like a ringleader, a certain, you know, in charge of a circus as a ringleader.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then it just was like, it just wasn't feeding me anymore. It was like, to be honest with you, it was like a job. It was really like just a job. And the thrill and the excitement of going on location and traveling around the world had just kind of left. And I know people aren't going to like to hear that, but I'm on it. And then what happened was when they started to outsource and take everything, they moved the whole entire operation to California. You know, for a number of different reasons, I didn't go. And I stumbled upon a video by Richard Cochi Hernandez and talking about mobile photography. And I was like, give me a break, mobile photography. You know, I mean, because I'm coming from Playboy where we used to shoot an 8x10 camera.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a joke. But I watched this video and I was completely taken in. And I went out the next day and I bought the 4S because I had iPhone 3 at the time, which took terrible pictures. And literally after that moment, I was hooked.
Awesome.
Completely hooked. And I think one of the main reasons why I was is because it, and I know this is going to sound, you know, overdramatic, but I love the simplicity of it. I love that it was me, a camera, my fingers working an app, and that was it. And that's what I continue to really gravitate towards and just love about it.
So that's completely understandable. The kind of the simplification of it all without without the giant productions that you were used to and had come from, that makes sense, and get kind of back more towards a basic, very, very basic composition and creation.
Yep. Yeah.
Very awesome. So I was going to say, you mentioned you went out and grabbed the 4S. So I was going to say, this is fairly recent. It must be that you watched the Cochi Hernandez video.
Yeah. I just got started, in March, April,
right around the same time as the Tiny Shutter.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go.
It must be a coincidence.
Yes. Providence.
Have you actually contacted or met Cochi Hernandez?
Yeah, you know, actually, I sent him. Okay, I'll reveal this. I sent him an email. I sent him a little something on his Instagram account, just saying, "Hey, I'd like to drop you an email offline," and I had no idea if he would respond. And he did. And I just sent him an email just saying, look it, man, I just want to let you know it was your video that inspired me. And it just invigorated my passion for photography. And in some respects, just being a creative person. And I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you. And he was blown away by it. And he actually sent me a response. And he's like, boy, in this day and age, I can't believe you actually took the time to do that. And we just, you know, we started to communicate back and forth. You know, we now mostly communicate through Instagram, but yeah, I think it's important to acknowledge those who inspire you.
Absolutely. So this is, I guess, since we brought up Instagram, it's a good segue into asking you how you come to be one of the community leaders for Josh Johnson.
Okay. Well, I guess this all kind of works together. You know, in light of the tragedy that's recently happened, regrettably, the last tragedy, the massacres in the theater in Colorado. Let me back up. Sorry. I was just basically like getting into mobile photography and Instagram, and I stumbled across Josh's feed, and I'm like, wow, this is really cool what they do. There's some great work. And after the tragedy out in Colorado, I did the same thing. I sent him an email and I'm like, hey, look at man, you know, I really believe that photography is an incredibly powerful medium. You know, it's not just about photographing your dog and cat and your coffee. You know, why don't you use your platform and your voice to do a theme of supporting, you know, the people that were affected by the tragedy? And he responded saying, wow, that's really great. And it was also at the time that he said, I'm also working on the possibility of another project and taking my community in, you know, a bigger and a larger direction. Would you be interested in helping me? And I was like, well, what's that all about? And he and I just started to talk a lot. And then he's just like, you know, I'd really like you to come on and help expand this and help develop it into a brand. And that's really what I've been doing since, gosh, I mean, midsummer.
Awesome. The community that he's built is large, to say the least. What does he have for a team that helps him manage that?
Well, I was the first one who came on, and then we have two other folks, Michael and Emily, that help us, where Michael is kind of like he's an attorney and kind of helping us develop the business and the business model. And then Emily was initially Josh's assistant. Josh will admit he's not great with the details. Emily is great with the details. And she was initially as his assistant, but we just realized that her skills were, you know, we could apply them elsewhere. So we've done that when we brought on another gal, Jackie. So it's really kind of like the four of us are the core, and then Jackie's assisting Josh. But really the driving force, I would say this behind it, is we have about 70 editors that go through the submissions. And the reason that's important is because, you know, on a low day, we'll get, you know, 3,000 submissions. On a high day, we can get shy of just 20,000 images submitted in a day.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's just no way I or Josh could go through that. So you basically, when you submit, you've got all of these different eyes across the globe, and we have editors all over. So there's no time. It's always active. And so they'll go through images, and they make kind of like their four collage image highlights, and then Josh and I will go through that, you know, to kind of like narrow it down. But with that being said, there are many a times where, you know, I'll have time on the train or whatever, and I'll go through all the images and I'll kind of pick my best. So that's really the driving force behind it.
It's a it's a really great community, and I'm interested to learn more about Josh, but I'll save that for another time. I would like to chat with you about yesterday's Instagram calamity, I guess. Yep. Maybe. Yep. I was skimming through my feed last night, and I noticed a post by Josh Johnson that mentioned he was going to have a meeting later in the evening with you and several of the other folks that help him out or work with him.
Yep.
Can you speak about anything that happened? Well, actually, let me back up a second and say, what was your initial reaction about the change to IG's terms of service?
Well, I think I look at it this way. One, I'm not a paranoid person. And two, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. Let me get that out front. With that being said, when I saw it, I just knew something didn't feel incredibly right. You know, I'm very honest, where it's like, you know what? There is no such thing as a free lunch. You know, and I said that in one of my posts. There's also no such thing necessarily as a free app. You know, when Facebook bought Instagram for $3.3 billion, you know, I think that's what the sale was, they were doing that for a reason and for a purpose, because they saw the potential of not only users' information, but users, and I also think imagery. How they were going to use that, how they were going to leverage that, I don't know. But you don't spend that kind of money unless you think you can get a return on that investment.
Right.
That's my opinion.
And you don't, let me insert my comment on that. You don't spend that kind of money with the intentions of killing it.
Correct. Yeah, that's a great point too. So what I really think is, do I think that they wanted to become the next Getty Images? No. Do I think that they wanted to start selling their images to, McDonald's and Starbucks? No. But as a business, you look at all different opportunities, and, that's a substantial amount of money that they spent, and they wanted a return on it.
Right, and they tend to do the terms of service as broadly as possible to let them do pretty much whatever avenue they want to go in any given point in the future.
Correct. And if you look at, what the terms were, and I know, and again, let me be very clear. I totally think they should make money. I totally think that it's a service that I would pay for. It's just a matter of what are you willing to pay and under what terms. And, when you look at some of the, you look at the wording, it was basically, I'm not an attorney, but I know enough having dealt with rights and permissions and stuff like that. It was like, we can use your images, not give you credit, and we don't have to pay you. I mean, it's very simply. It's truly what it says.
Yeah.
And I think that just didn't pass the smell test.
Sure.
And I think 95%, now I'm going to go 99.9% of the users on Instagram don't have to worry about it. And they shouldn't worry about it. But those that are professionals and monetize and make money off of photography, that's very alarming. And subsequently, you saw that National Geographic, they basically have put their site completely on hold. Almost anybody associated with National Geographic has done that. I've seen some other big name photographers that are doing the same thing too, because it just doesn't feel safe.
Benjamin Lowy, who we had on the show last week, is basically in the same kind of holding pattern too.
Right.
I guess my thing about it is, and this is the way I look at it, is Instagram has a very, very tight user interface. There isn't a heck of a lot of room there for them to monetize with, say, iAds or something like that. So they obviously needed to think creatively out of the box as far as how they were going to generate revenue. And one of those ways would obviously be sponsored posts and trying to figure out a way to say, okay, maybe Kevin Custer clicks like on the McDonald's picture, and somehow or another they manage to convert that into a Kevin likes McDonald's or something like,
Sure.
So I mean, I don't for a second think that even the top upper 0.1% of photographers on Instagram, I don't think for a second that Facebook and Instagram are going to go and collect those amazing images and sell them as royalty-free stock. I think that the terms of service were written so that in some fashion or another, they could try and place branding on or in or around the imagery, and they needed a way to say that, hey, it's okay for us to do this. You agree that since you're going to be putting your images up here, we can place advertisements in some fashion or another, or convert your content in a fashion like I said, Kevin likes McDonald's or something.
Right. But I mean, here's the thing that I'll say, and I know people disagree with me, and again, I'm not one of those guys that's a big conspiracy guy, but when you read it and it says, business or entity may pay us to display your username, likeness, or photos
right.
in connection with a paid or sponsored content or promotion without any compensation to you. That's like, wait, what?
Right. Definitely. It definitely has an air of, we're going to use you.
Yep.
And you're saying it's okay that we use you. But it's one of those things. Again, we could talk around the horn on this all day long. Part of my thing about it was the internet has a way of overreacting.
Yes.
And so something like this comes up, and then who was it? CNN.net or whoever it was that picked up the story first yesterday, CNET, and it blew up, and next thing you know, people are deleting. I have several people that I follow deleted their accounts yesterday.
Oh, which, you mean somebody actually deleted their account?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow.
Which, for me, again, I would just say, and that's one of the things I post, people remain calm. All is well, you know? I mean, first of all, their terms don't even take effect until January
17th.
Okay. So it's like to start deleting it, I believe, is an overreaction.
Yeah, take a breath.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if they are going to be outlandishly stupid about this, you've got 4 weeks to say, you know what, screw you. But take a breath.
Right.
So I actually, Star Rush, I follow her, or started following her, and she said that she was going to delete her account, and I playfully bet her a dollar that she wouldn't. Well, she deleted it last night. But when she deleted it, she actually sent me a thing saying, you know, you can send the dollar to this address. But when she deleted her account, it deleted the address. So, Star, if you're listening, go ahead and send me that address, and I'll send you your dollar.
I'll give you my address. You can send the dollar to me.
There you go. Well, if it's anything like Facebook, then you probably could recoup that account, and it'll all still be there. Nothing truly gets deleted from Facebook.
I know, that's the other thing too, is it doesn't really get deleted. So anyway, did you guys actually have an official meeting last night?
We did. You know, and there was, to be honest with you, we've talked about some ideas and thoughts that we had. You know, and again, I, you know, my big thing was, I feel comfortable saying this, patience. Let this play out. You know, the house is not on fire. We don't need to get out right away. Let's just see how this play out. We understand people have concerns. We have concerns. You know, putting pressure on the guys at Instagram, I believe, is valuable. And, you know, as a community, not just Josh Johnson's community, I hope the whole Instagram community continues to do it. Like I said, I think anything that is worth and has value is worth fighting for. And if and when the terms are corrected or they stay the same, make an educated decision.
Right. Yep.
I got to say this, though. This couldn't have come at a better time for Flickr.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, my God. I mean, the design.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable because that new app has put them back in the game.
Now, I haven't. Have you? I haven't downloaded it yet. Have you tried it?
Yeah,
I've heard it's amazing.
It's great. You know, and it's funny because, you know, I don't know why. Well, I do know why. You know, I didn't use Flickr, but when I started my Instagram account, for some reason, I just said, I'm going to upload them to Flickr. Why? I had no clue, but I just did. And they're all there. And it's funny, a couple professionals contacted me saying, well, looks like we're all going back to the godfather of photography.
That's pretty funny.
Kodak?
They just sold a bunch of stuff, too.
Yeah.
It was Google and Apple got together and bought a lot of Kodak patents, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, Kevin, let's move on. My next thing I want to chat with you real quick about is if you can tell us about Creator Gallery.
Sure. You know, I was still freelancing and producing and stuff like that after Playboy and working with them. And two partners came to me and they had a concept, an idea of doing a photo studio and an art gallery. And initially, I was like, wow, it's kind of interesting. The more and more we talked about it, and I dealt with a couple of my friends that were full-time photographers and how the business has just changed tremendously. Our concept is going to kind of be threefold. So we have three revenue sources that will hopefully generate income, but also, you know, the key is to bring people through the doors. You know, most photographers are like, hey, I'm a photographer, and they hang a sign up, and that's it. And they don't necessarily realize the importance of marketing and getting your name out. So we developed a event space let me take that back. An art gallery, an event space, and a photo studio in one. So we didn't put the focus on one of those particular revenue streams. So there. So if you come to our space, we have a studio. The studio can also be expandable. If we needed to do a commercial shoot, we can do so. But we also developed it where the front portion of it is an art gallery. And then it flows into another part that is kind of like we call Studio B.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a studio, or it just makes the event space that much larger. For, you know, weddings, receptions, corporate events. And then we'll have artists that are constantly showing work there. So in the event space and art gallery, there'll be constantly different artists showing work. One of the things that I really hope to do is that I believe more than ever, art and photography is really starting to blend together because of mobile photography.
More so than ever, for sure.
Yeah. So that is really going to be one of the things that, you know, our gallery will emphasize that as well. You know, because for me, like, I'm more of a commercial guy. I like portraits, you know, an occasional landscape. But there are some people out there that are just amazing with their photography, how they turn it into fine art. So we'll have a combination of that in there as well.
Awesome. Very cool. And you're going to have a space that's like literally large enough to have like wedding receptions?
Yeah.
That'll
we'll
be great.
We'll be the space where it we'll be able to accommodate. We're still waiting on the final numbers from the fire marshal, but we'll be able to accommodate again, not a huge one by any means, but a smaller, we're smaller. That's all relative. About 180 people or so that we could seat. So it's not a huge, massive one, but it's enough where you could have a good wedding and a reception there.
Awesome. And do formals in the studio.
Yeah, you got it.
Very cool. Mark, I haven't let you talk. Do you have anything to ask, Evan?
No, I mean, we're pretty much going right down the line of questioning here. And you've been very kind to my voice post-operation here. So, that's cool. What really struck me, I'd really love to see more about the gallery when that finally is finished.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it's there's a part of me that is so incredibly excited about this adventure. I have to admit, I was a little nervous because, you know, I was a corporate guy, you know, for 18 years. I had this whole big, huge corporation behind me.
Right.
You know? But all of that has to play into, that's valuable skill set for you moving forward. I mean, that's had to have, that kind of level of detail had to help you.
Yeah, enormously so. So I'm very, very excited about it. And I do see that, you know, my involvement in mobile photography really serves this well, and is going to be a real good addition to this. So for me, I just, you know, it's just one of the most exciting times in my life creatively. And I really, attribute a lot of that to mobile photography.
Well, let me ask this, because when you were talking about the 4S and how that kind of opened your eyes, for me, the changing point was actually watching the iPhone 4 keynote and seeing Steve Jobs show the capabilities of the iPhone 4's photography power. And, you know, he brings up this beautiful landscape saying that this is unedited. And it's absolutely blown up to, like, massive proportions on screen. And it looks fantastic. And from there, I think that was my changing point in mobile photography. But what do you see the future for mobile photography? I mean, well, right now we're kind of, I think we all see it as kind of like we're at this stepping point into an abyss, and we really don't know where it's going to go. It's very unexplored, undetermined right now. But like, what is your vision for mobile photography?
Well, first of all, I really do, and I've written about this on the App Whisperer. I think it's the most exciting time for photography ever. You know, I'm going to age myself here, but I remember at Playboy when digital photography first came out. And there were so many people that were like, this is crap. We will never use this. Film will never be replaced.
Now, I remember those years. That wasn't that long ago.
You know, it's just silly to even think about that. But they were adamant. And I think, unlike that, this time around, mobile photography, I think professionals really were resistant to digital initially, you know, when it came out. But consumers, because of the cost, were like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And I think mobile photography has completely destroyed that resistance, because people are seeing, you know, the results so quick, so fast. So here's what I believe, you know, and I listened to your podcast with Ben the other day, and it's funny because, and I gave him full credit, if you're listening, Ben, when I was down in Brazil for a mobile photography conference, I talked about how professionals are just embracing mobile photography. And I think that's a great thing, you know, and I really do say that it's like, you know, a professional, you know, rejecting a mobile phone as a camera is like a, you know, painter, you know, rejecting a pencil. It's just ridiculous. You know, you still need a good eye. You need to know about composition. You know, just because you have the tool doesn't mean you're any good with it. But I do see it as just another tool for you to create images. For me, what works so well is, man, I'd love to say I carried around my camera, but I didn't. And this is always in my pocket. So it's constantly reminding me that I can think creatively at any moment.
I love that. I love that idea that you can, and it happens without you even consciously trying to make it happen. You have the phone in your pocket, and it just kind of, it evolves your thought process. I mean, in you know, I'll be cheesy, and even if it's an angle on your breakfast or something, you might not take the picture, but you're at least kind of processing the thought, you know?
Yeah.
Might not take the picture, but you realize that the phone is in your hand and you don't even know how it got there.
Correct. You know, and the other thing that I'll say, you know, I remember years ago when that movie, the documentary on Apocalypse Now came out called Heart of Darkness. And Coppola at the end, very politically incorrect, but he said, he goes, well, you know, with video and stuff like that now, you know, you're not limited by technology. So the next, you know, amazing filmmaker could be some fat little girl living in Cleveland. You know, that's what he said. And he was being really honest.
Right.
And I look at mobile photography where it's like, if I was back at the magazine, I would clearly, and back in my position of being able to hire photographers, I would clearly go on Instagram or one of the other sites, and I would hire guys, people, off of their images that they post on these sites, because the work is amazing. And they're not, there's a lot of people out there that are just truly amazing, that aren't quote unquote professionals, that easily could make a living off of doing it.
Awesome. All right, let's move into the final spot of the interview. Usually this is where the guests get caught like deer in the headlights here. What's that?
I'm ready.
All right. I gave you a little prep before the show. We have what's called our focus points, and this is where we offer up some little bit of nugget for the listeners, and I'd like to see if you have a focus point to share with the listeners.
I do. And it might sound lame initially, but I think it's a good nugget. one of the photographers at Playboy, you know, who was one of the old masters that basically developed how to photograph the female form, was from Italy, Pompeo Posar. And he gave me the best lesson about lighting. And he said, study master painters. And if you look back at master painters as in the Renaissance and things like that, you can see those guys knew about light because they were painting it. So they knew where the light source was coming. They knew what the light source would do when it would hit a particular item or figure, you know, with an edge light or a rim light or a backlight. They knew it and they studied it. And then they had to recreate it. And he was like, study classic painters, you know, like the Renaissance thing, like that, and you'll really understand what lighting is like because they're making conscious choices. And I would then take that to the next step where you can really just, you know, going through Instagram and just liking an image and moving past to the next one. I think there's some benefit to that, but really study people whose images you're inspired by. Like, why do I like that? What's working? What's not working? Because I believe, just like my own work, by doing that, that informs my style. That informs my approach by having looked at others' work and studying it.
Awesome tip. Thank you very much. I like the idea of, especially when you brought Instagram at the end, there's so much imagery there. There's an accidental tendency to skim, double tap, skim, double tap.
Yeah, there is. There really is. You know, the other thing that I'd say too, is, you know why you're taking an image of something. You know, give it some thought. Like, what is it that you want to communicate or say? Or, you know, and it's okay. It could just be like, hey, this is my breakfast and this is a cool angle. You know what I'm saying? That's okay. Just know it. And then the other thing I'd say is, once you've shot it and you've worked it, really have the courage to say, you know what? I'm really glad I did this. This was a really good exercise, but this is a terrible picture and I'm not posting it.
I love that.
You know,
it's funny because I did that very same thing yesterday. I walked in to pick up my son at the library and they have this miniature set up with the town and the fake snow and the train and the houses and everything. And it's this little small town set up in the center somebody took a heck of a lot of work setting this town up. Yeah. And I get this instant idea to frame this town and take the picture in such a way so that my vision is to make it so that it looks like a miniature of a miniature. You know, I'm going to use the tilt shift filter and all this kind of stuff. So I did this. I brought it home. I spent a stupid amount of time on the image. And when I was all said and done, I looked at it and I'm like, I am not letting anybody else see this.
Yeah.
So you put it on MySpace.
But I mean, there is something to that, you know. And then the other thing that I will say that happens to me quite a bit, and this is a little this is a second tip. Can I give you two?
You can give me as many as you want.
All right, so here's my second tip that happens to me. I tend to be really critical on my own work, way too so, and I know it. I'm like, this is terrible. I'm never going to do anything with this, and I'll put it away. And I really do feel like I've put it away. And then many times I find myself either I've got time on my hands, or, you know, I haven't uploaded anything in a long time. I'll go back through kind of like, what are my rejects? And I look at them with a fresh set of eyes. And then I will work them with a fresh set of eyes. And about, I don't know, maybe like 3 or 4 times, which is hilarious, what I thought was a crap image got to the point of mediocre in my mind. And then I put it online and I get more response out of that picture than anything that I initially liked.
And those pictures were my shoes.
All right, Kevin. So let's take a chance to let you give everybody some places where they can find you and let them know about any upcoming projects you have.
Sure. Well, right now I'm on Instagram at Kevin Custer, and it's KUSTER. I also do have a Flickr account. That's Kevin Custer Photos, and then a Tumblr, where I kind of, you know, that's KevinCuster/Tumblr.com, So go there. My previous professional work is just at my website, kevincuster.com. And then I'll, you know, be posting every day on Josh's feed. Matter of fact, I'm late for my post now. But so you know, Josh and I share the highlighting duties every day. And, you know, you can see my stuff there and, well, do some stuff at the App Whisper as well. And hopefully you guys will have me back.
Absolutely.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely check out theappwhisper.com because along with Kevin and I, there's just so much amazingly awesome, informative, just overwhelmingly filled with tons of content over there. All right, well, thank you very much for coming on, Kevin. I you mentioned it. I would love to have you back on if there's ever anything you want to chat about or you and the Josh Johnson community or anything like that. If you guys want to come on and spread the word about anything, we'd love to have you at any time. And thanks for your time and consideration today.
No problem. It's a pleasure. And I just want to say thanks. You know, I mean, I know this is like you guys said, this is a labor of love. And not only is it a labor of love, but you really provide a great service for people out there in terms of teaching and educating. And I'm just, I for one, am very thankful and appreciative of guys like you and people that are willing. I always feel like one of the best compliments that someone who's really, really confident when they're willing to share their knowledge and expertise. That, for me, is the sign of someone who is really confident in their skill set. And I think that just, you know, a tribute to you guys in terms of wanting to teach and share and interact with others. So thanks.
Thank you very much for that. That means a lot.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back from a amazingly awesome interview with Kevin Custer. And I forgot to mention in the news, it's not really news as much as it is just awesome Tiny Shutter information about Keith Tharp info. So yesterday, I'm messing around with my iPhone photography, as I tend to do, being the Tiny Shutter, or one of the Tiny Shutter hosts. And I noticed a spot. And I'm like, what the F? So, you know, I first thing I do is I take my tongue and I lick the back of my phone and I wipe it off, wipe it off on my belly.
As we iPhone photographers do.
As we do. And so, you know, and I, and now I'm, you know, just the same way as when I have dust on my DSLR. Now I go and I find a white wall or something. And I aim it at that. And sure enough, there's this big old booger spot on the, at like, I don't know, in the 5 o'clock range on my screen. I flip it over, and now it's in the, you know, 10 o'clock range or whatever the counter opposite is there. So I'm like, well, what the hell? So now I really go, I get the lens cleaner and all that, and I clean it up, and it doesn't go away. So I went back to the Apple store today, and I'm like, hello? Looks like my sensor needs to be clean. Can you take care of that? I ended up getting a new iPhone today for it, for all my troubles. Now I got $5, as you're not going to be able to see this in my camera here, but we'll see. No, you can't. Like, it's down right here. I'm going to hold it up to the camera again. It's right here. Can you see that? This is radio gold, what I'm doing right now. Can you see it? Oh yeah, you can a little bit there.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that little booger down on the bottom there. So anyway, that's from a picture I took earlier today. So I went out and got they swapped it out for me. He suspected that there was something somehow came loose, you know, maybe there was a speck of dust during creation and somehow it wiggled its way loose during sticking in my pocket or something and got in there.
So they didn't recommend the iPhone 5 sensor cleaning kit from Photo JoJo?
they said they'd take care of it this time, so
it's a good stocking stuffer.
Yes,
you'd be surprised how much stuff gets into the iPhone.
I should do a video on that, how to clean the sensor on your iPhone 5. Oh, that would be awesome. I could go up and grab my old 3GS and be like, how to clean the sensor on your 3GS, and just grab a freaking screwdriver,
yeah,
jam it in.
open your phone with a hammer.
Oh, that would
How
be
to
awesome.
Avoid your warranty.
Oh boy, that will be a how-to pretty soon from this guy. That's awesome. All right. Nice. Anyway, let's scoot on into more important stuff and talk about this week's post pick of the week. And it is, conveniently enough, Mark's week. He for those of you who know, he wasn't actually sick last week. He was just so intent on finding the best post pick of the week this week that he took the extra time for research last week.
Yeah, and subsequently, I worked so hard that my appendix was about to burst. And Sunday, I got rushed to the hospital. Monday morning, got rushed to the hospital, and I had an appendectomy.
And he's like, "Wait, don't forget my phone."
And I took photos of my feet the whole way through.
Awesome.
Blood spattered all over those things. Anyway. Today's post pick comes from, I'm going to butcher your name, but what else is new for me? R. Paul Arms.
It's RP Alarms, like the name of a company, maybe. RP Alarms.
Oh, yeah, that sounds much better.
I mean, I don't want to be smart or anything, but...
No, that'll take a load off my mind. Yeah.
Sounds better than Replarms.
Yeah. And it is a photo. It's a beautiful black and white photo, kind of a bridge, of a suspension bridge, and it has that very old, mystic, dreamy look to it. For those of you who are watching the video feed, I don't know if you can get that.
We can't see a damn thing. Tilt your camera a little bit. Tilt the phone a little. Oh yeah, that's it. There you go.
All right, right there. It is right about there. It has that very noir look to it, and I really dug it. It really spoke to me in the hospital bed, so thank you for the entertainment. And it looks like it's the Bear Mountain Bridge, judging by the hashtags.
In Highland Falls.
There we go.
I have no idea where that is, but it sounds like an awesome place.
Sounds like an awesome scenic place, and that fog in the air really, really adds to the photo and the mystique behind it. So thank you very much, sir. It is RP Alarms, and check them out.
Awesome. For those of you in the focus group who are looking for it, it was posted on the Tiny Shutter feed just about a day ago or so, I believe.
Yeah.
Cool. That's interesting because it's RP Alarms' fault. To his credit, is where my focus point from this week is going to be.
Cool.
Yeah. So, with that being said, how do you guys feel about going into this week's focus points?
Let's do it.
Awesome. And since I've already teased it, I'll just go ahead and go first. And thanks to RP Alarms and posting this picture in the Tiny Shutter hashtag feed. The name of the app is called InstaPlace, and it's a pretty cool little app where you can grab a picture, and through geotagging, this app figures out where you are and gives you some overlays. And before I talk too far out of my unit, let me get into that. So gives you some overlays. It tells you the name of the place you're at. If you happen to be at a restaurant or some site type of establishment, that will come up. I believe it's powered by Foursquare. So it uses Foursquare's location services to help title the location and all that kind of stuff. Gives you a whole bunch of different transparencies that you can choose from. And it just gives you a neat little way to, instead of going into one of those label-making apps and trying to type in all your own stuff and everything, if all you want to do is be like, hey, I'm at Jim's Burgers this morning having my double cheeseburger breakfast, then it's like bing, bang, and done.
That sounds really good right now.
So anyway, InstaPlace, it's cool. And actually, you also have the opportunity, real quick, you also have the opportunity to name your place if it doesn't pop up on the location services. So we call our house here, we call it Tharp Park, because during the winter we have this whole snow park thing going on out back. So we call our place here Tharp Park. And so I used that as one of my overlays
Actually, and got me thinking I should go into Foursquare and make Thark Park on Foursquare so people can check in. But anyway,
you'll be getting these visitors.
People will be like, "Here it is." anyway,
somebody
the name
walks
of the
in,
app
I'm
is.
I'm the mayor.
What do I get for being the mayor? The name of the app is InstaPlace. I do believe it is free. It's fun, and pick it up. And thank you very much, RP Alarms, for tuning me into it. And that's it.
Keith, with this app, you can look at photos taken in different places also, right?
Yeah, like, you're telling me.
A little of both. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, let's say you've never been to Boston, and you go to Boston, you don't know where anything is. You can, I'm pretty positive, with InstaPlace, look at photos taken in various places of Boston so that you know, oh, if I walk to this corner, I'm going to see, you know, this cool thing. There's the cemetery where Paul Revere is buried or whatever, you know, whatever.
You know, I'm not seeing that, and I'm just not seeing that.
Okay.
I don't think that's a feature of this particular app, to be honest with you.
I might be confusing it with a different app, another Insta something.
I do believe that you are confusing it.
Dang.
So thanks, but
sorry.
But there's no feature here for that.
Explore
InstaPlace. No, that's just that just takes you to their Instagram feed.
Mm.
So it's not that. But follow InstaPlace, more free apps, settings, what's new, rate app, support, share app. No, there's nothing there for that, Matt. Thanks for screwing up my focus point.
Yeah, hey, wait for a 2.0 for that one.
speaking of focus points, I did say pick of the week last week instead of focus points, so I get two demerits for that. I was listening to the show. I'm like, no!
That's okay. We all forgave you.
All right. Go ahead, Matt.
Can we skip me for a second?
That's all right. I like how the camera panned to you, Keith, and you were underneath.
I'm busy choking on my coffee. Can we skip me? I'm too busy. I forgot what I was going to do after I beat up on Keith, so...
Yeah, I did not beat up on you.
Mine is a very simple one. Last week, I wanted to finally get away from carrying a stupid wallet. And since I carry the iPhone everywhere, I thought the iPhone would make the perfect wallet. So I got this iPhone case by spec. And what you could do is wedge your important stuff. So I have my credit card, my driver's license, my AAA card, and my T-Pass here. And I now carry them in my iPhone.
What about cash?
Cash? Well, I don't carry cash. So so this would carry just all my essentials. Subsequently, I should also carry my health insurance card in there. there's that. But... you know, cash I always keep in my back pocket. I never kept that in my wallet anyway.
So, I would never keep my cash in my back pocket.
No?
It's always in my front pocket.
Oh, there you go. So I now keep my wallet in my front pocket too. And it really frees up the back. It doesn't hurt as much when I sit down to drive the car anymore. Because the wallet was always pesky for that.
And, sure. And it hurt your back, right?
It did for a while. But this is actually rather liberating, so it's a nice change of pace. And I think I only paid $20 for it at the mall.
This just in from the focus group. Grizz thinks I should drop out of being the host and Matt should take over because I have too many demerits now.
Yeah, let's not do that.
You know, the thing about it is I'm constantly riding everybody. Call it a focus point. Call it a focus point, right? And then I just bit it hard and called it a focus point. I mean, I called it whatever. Forget it. Moving on.
Moving on.
Are you ready, Matt, or do you want me to kill some more time?
No. I'm ready. I'm ready. So I felt really bad for walking all over your focus point there a second ago. So I basically
you had to think about that for a second. You were about
to
say.
I did. So I wanted to find out what it was that I was thinking of. And there's actually two apps that do what I was talking about. One that I have is called Instabam, Explore Instagram. And that does exactly what I was saying before.
Oh, so it uses Instagram's API, grabs onto the location data.
Exactly.
And it'll give you pictures from the area where you're standing. That's cool.
Yep. And then there's another one that does essentially the same thing that's called Neargram. I haven't tried that because one app that does that is good enough for me. In lieu of having like a specific app or something like that for the focus point, I came up with some gift lists. So whether you're buying for yourself or somebody else that's really into iPhone photography, I had like three lists, but I'm just going to narrow it down to two. The first list I came up with would be for people that are really into shooting HDR or long exposure photography with their iPhones. And I just had a couple things that I thought were essential doodads that would make it a little bit easier for them to accomplish that. The first thing is the diff case. If you've listened to the show, you know I've talked about it a few times. It's just a case that lets you mount your iPhone to a tripod. It's got a tripod socket on it, and it's kind of cool because it's got a little lid on it that will block any glare from the screen. It makes viewing the phone really easy. A couple apps that are really cool for this kind of thing. I know, Keith, you love Average Camera Pro. Very cool app. It's awesome for low light photography, but you could get some really cool slow shutter effects with that. Slow Shutter Cam is another great app for doing all that kind of stuff, light trails and silky water flow and stuff like that. My favorite app right now is True HDR, a really awesome app for making HDR pictures. And before that, Pro HDR. I was in love with that app as well. And then another cool thing that makes a great stocking stuffer is a GorillaPod. It's a little tripod with little flexible legs. You could wrap it around a fence post or a railing or a tree branch. Really helps you get creative, and that diff case that I mentioned before mounts on that perfectly. And then another list I have is for people that like to do nature photography or maybe adventure photography, like you're out hiking or skiing or something like that. The LifeProof case, I swear by mine. It has been through everything, water, sand, mud, very soon snow, and nothing has gotten through that case. It's awesome. Some cool apps for that kind of stuff. The Photographer's Ephemeris, kind of a pricey app. It's $8.99, but if you're even remotely serious, and you don't have to use this app for iPhone photography, you could use it for your regular photography too. But basically, it's kind of a calculator that shows you where the sun and the moon is going to be in the sky at a particular time at a particular location, and it'll show you exactly how the light is going to fall on that scene. So it's really helpful for planning a shoot. Very cool. There's a great app called, I actually have no idea how to pronounce this. It's GAIA, GPS. Also a very pricey app. It's $19.99.
Whoa!
Yeah,
for a GPS, that's not bad.
But it is ridiculously awesome. You could store maps offline, so you could access them without having any kind of data or 3G or anything like that. And it does everything a GPS does, record tracks, make waypoints. You could see weather radar overlays over your location, which is super awesome. All kinds of nifty, nifty things. If you are into the outdoors, it's essential. It's totally awesome.
Matt, can I ask you a question about that one specifically?
Yeah.
Real quick?
Yeah.
So you must have a legit GPS, like a Garmin or something too, right?
No, I haven't used one in years.
Okay, then forget it. Yeah. I was going to ask you how the accuracy rated against that, but
oh well, I'll tell you what, man. I've been using either this app that I just talked about or another app called Motion X GPS for like hiking and stuff like that. And I don't think it's necessarily the app that's like accurate as much as it is just the GPS of the iPhone is just really awesome. And when I record a track, if I'm hiking or something, the track is more accurate than the map most of the time. Sometimes the map, that if it shows a trail on a map, it's correct, but a lot of times it's just a generalization of about where the trail lies. Sure. But you record a track and it shows you exactly where you walked. It's awesome.
And gives you distances and elevations and everything?
Everything, yeah.
Nice. Nice. And can you export your data?
You can. You could import and export.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
So even recently, one of our listeners, Kevin Davis, recently sent me a track to an air that he a little hike he did in an area by where we lived that I didn't even know about. And he said, here's this track. Go out and check it out. And I brought it up in that app and just went out and followed it. Actually, on Thanksgiving Day, it's what I did.
That's very cool. That's
very awesome. Yeah. What was the name of that? The first one, the $19 one.
G-A-I-A.
G-A-I-A.
I would say Gaia.
Yeah, that's what I think it is, something like that. And there's a light version of it, too, that's a little bit watered down, that's not as expensive. But if I'm kind of a map geek, and this thing will show you all different kinds of maps and marine charts and the whole nine yards, and it's nice. Pretty damn cool.
Very cool. So it's just the reason I asked about the uploading and downloading of it is because you can use that for if you're carrying your DSLR with you too. You can transfer it over via the timestamps to give GPS data to your DSLR photos.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. So did what was the rest of your list? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, that's fine. I'm just going to say one more app for nature and adventure photographers would be Magic Hour. And that's just a nice app. It'll let you set up like a reminder that it's you know, the best time of the morning or the evening when you're in that golden light of the day. You know, that's always a very pleasing time to go out and shoot. So I use it in the summer. I have like a little reminder set in the app, and it kind of goes off about an hour before sunset. That way I know to get my butt out the door and go to wherever I want to go for the evening and be there in time for sunset.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's actually really cool. Matt's iPhone photography gift list, both for HDR enthusiasts and nature photography enthusiasts. Matt, you really hit it out of the park with that. I'd say you've made up for all of your weak focus points to this point. Very
thank
awesome.
You. Thank
Very
you.
Awesome. Mark, you already mentioned yours, right? But we forgot because Matt's was so amazing.
Yeah, he took the thunder from
what was it?
My spec case.
Oh, the spec case.
I'm sorry. I'll never be that strong again. I'm sorry.
Not until next Christmas.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, there's an app that both Keith and I use for weddings that's similar to your light tracking app that I think is somewhat cheap, cheaper than.
So his is called Ephemeris. Ours is called Light Track.
Yeah,
the one I use.
What you introduced? Yeah, you introduced that one to me.
I think that one's $5 or $10.
Five bucks,
yeah. And it's a great app, too. The Photographer's Ephemeris is a little bit more involved and also has a decent web interface, too, that you can kind of go back and forth with. But either one is good to get what you got to get.
Very cool.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess since we're gonna be taking a two-week break here, and we'll come back on the 8th, I think it is, correct? Or is it the 7th, 9th?
I think so.
8th. It'll be, you know, we're going to skip Christmas because it's on a Tuesday, and we're going to skip New Year's because it's on a Tuesday, and we'll be coming back the following week after that. So I would just like to say it's been an awesome year for Tiny Shutter. I'm very excited. We started mid to early March, I believe, and it's just phenomenally amazing how fast we've picked up, how the fan base has grown, how the downloads have gone through the roof. And the support, all the great, amazingly awesome people we've met along the way. I mean, Kevin Custer today, but we had
We had Benjamin Lowy on last week. It's his name slipping my head, but the wedding photographer that we had on back in May, I believe.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Jerry Gionis. Yeah. You know, tons of awesome interviews we've done. Mike Hardacre from 645 Pro. And I know that I have on the hook to come on the show is Joanne from theappwhisperer.com coming down. I'm also going to work on trying to get possibly Josh Johnson from Instagram, or not from Instagram, but he's manages the JJ community on Instagram, obviously.
Thanks to Kate and Artie for allowing us to photograph your awesome wedding.
Right.
That was one of our highlights.
Definitely. That was actually a very cool time of the year, right? Had had Doc Pop on. That was a great great interview. And Colby Nelson from Dual Pick. So it's been a great year. And I just want to thank all of the listeners for continuing to support us and for continuing to hang in there and enjoying the show along with us, because in the end that's why we're here, is just enjoying iPhone photography. We love hearing from you. The feedback and the activity on the Tiny Shutter Facebook page is increasing by the day. This past week we've had tons and tons of activity over there. Very awesome. So that's it. I'll stop talking. If you guys have anything exciting you want to say, I will finish up with you can find me on Instagram for now at Keith_Tharp.
You could find me, Mark Sadowski, on twitter.com/mostlymarcus, or you can find me on Instagram, username LensWipe.
Happy holidays, everybody. Thank you again for an awesome year. I've been having a great time doing this, so thank you. And if you want to see any of my photos, you can check me out at M. Hoffman Photo, and that would be on Instagram, and connect with me on Twitter.
Awesome. And if you want to get all of the links and information from today's show, links to find Kevin Custer, links to find the apps we talked about, I will also include a list of Matt's HDR list and nature list for you folks looking for last-minute gifts. And that'll be on the show notes, as well as links and information from the rest of today's show. Make sure you head over to tinyshutter.com for that. Make sure you head over to facebook.com/tinyshutter for all sorts of fun and interaction stuff. We'll be on there through the holidays, too. You can interact with us over there or over on Twitter at twitter.com/tinyshutter. Make sure you don't forget, if you are hanging in with Instagram, to hashtag your photos, Tiny Shutter. And to be honest with you, actually, let's take a quick second to talk about this. I'm kind of crazed out by the fact that I haven't seen one single person other than myself who tried to seed the pool hashtag their photo with TS Oloclip.
I guess nobody wants one. I'm not sure what's wrong with them.
Isn't that crazy? Folks, if you're listening, you have an opportunity to win an Oloclip. All we're looking for is some pictures with the hashtag. I mean, just come on.
I'm going to make a fake account now.
Yeah. There you go.
I didn't even think of that. So we're looking for some pictures in the hashtag TS Oloclip. That's OLLOCLIP. Originally, we had some grand ideas of making you jump through some hoops with those pictures, but now all you need to do is stick a picture there. And
can it be of cats or feet?
Cats, feet, or breakfast.
Nice.
And put those in there, and get yourself a shot at winning the Oloclip. And folks, have a superty duperty awesomely great holiday season. We will see you next year. Bye bye.
And just one more thing, I want to say a special thank you to everybody who has sent me get well wishes on any of the feeds. Thank you very much. It's been emotional.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to say, Mark, get better. What the hell? It's the final one of the year, so I'm gonna go ahead and drag it on a little bit longer and tell you that I had this great idea for an app where you would take a picture of a person, and it would automatically make that person have the same face that your kid has in the picture after someone said, "Hey, Mark's your dad." And it'll make them go like, "Aw."
Oh my god, my wife is still laughing at that comment.
All right, that's enough from this. Have a great holiday. We'll see you guys next year. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It hurts when I laugh.
Solid. That was fun.
Awesome. Hey guys, thanks for an awesomely great, super stupendous year. I'm very excited about where the show is, so it's very cool. Thanks for hanging in there.
I can't wait to see what we could do next year.
Very cool. Very exciting.
I think next year, by the end of the year, we'll probably actually do a live show.
Like
in a stadium.
Like a real live show, like at
Madison Square Garden.
Or Bugger Creek Soccer Field.
Scott Bourne will open for us.
Yeah. And Gavin, yeah. And Gavin Syme will close.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.